Hi, this is Russ Walden with Father's Heart Ministry, and this is the Mentoring Minute. The path to abundant harvest, obedience, and restoration. To truly experience God's blessings, we must embark on a campaign of honest self-examination, acknowledging, rooting out and acknowledging every deviation in our lives from divine guidance and those aspects of our character that contradict and do not reflect God's character and His holiness. Now, this process involves confronting the pitfalls of self-will, recognizing how our desires and even our plans can create idols that hinder our spiritual growth. Through confession, humble confession, and a commitment to obedience, particularly in honoring God with our resources, we unlock the potential to break destructive patterns and step into a season of restoration. God's patience, His love, is evidenced by His desire for all to repent, offering us a constant opportunity to align our lives with His will that ultimately leads to spiritual and material abundance. The words of Isaiah, in Isaiah 1:19, profoundly reflect the heart of God toward us and by inference reveal His disdain for sin and transgression. Isaiah 1:19 tells us, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. God's will is that we prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. What if that doesn't describe your life? If that isn't our experience, then the next course of action is not to question God or to come up with some type of theology that suggests the suffering that we're going through is God's will. No, the next course of action is to examine our hearts, if you're willing and obedient, to examine our hearts and purpose to eradicate every transgression, action, habit, or thought that offends God's character. Our journey toward spiritual and material abundance hinges on our willingness to align our lives with God's divine will. Disobedience, particularly when it stems from self-will, is there any other kind of disobedience? It creates barriers, unnecessary barriers, barriers that God never planned for. Barriers to the blessings that God intends for us. But sincere repentance, through sincere repentance and a commitment to obedience, because remember, God looks on the heart, we can dismantle these barriers and step into a season of restoration and flourishing. So in that opening verse, there we see, for willing and obedient, we shall eat the good of the land. There's an intrinsic link between obedience and blessing that was not obviated by the advent of the New Testament as though somehow we could be completely blessed without any accountability in our lives or in our moral character. That's complete false doctrine. There is a link, an intrinsic link between obedience and the blessing and prosperity God desires for your life. It is this verse, if you're willing and obedient, there's a link there, you'll eat the good of the land. So your willingness to align with God's will is directly tied to experiencing His blessing. If our lives are not reflective of eating the good of the land, as it were, then we must find this missing link between God's holiness and our blessings that are lacking, and then correct ourselves in humility and repentance that blessing might come. When's the last time anybody suggested that you repent? Most Christians repented when they gave their life to Christ and they liked it so little that they never repented again, as though somehow grace gives them a pass for living a godly life. Many object this is putting them under the law, but know this, every action, every sin, every motivation not reflective of God's holy character places us outside of grace. And outside of grace, there is only law and its consequences as outlined in the Old Covenant. 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In other words, if we are in a posture of transgression, and God brings his causality, what is God's causality? His capacity for exposing himself to our situation and bringing about change. If he exposes us to his causality where repentance is lacking, the end would be our destruction. So we're praying for the blessing and wondering why it's not showing up, but the barrier is on our part. We may be tempted to think that somehow in our lives or in our situation, God isn't holding up his end. Peter knew this. In the verse, 2 Peter 3:9, he emphasizes by contrast God's patience and desire for our repentance, highlighting that the opportunity for change is always present. Without that predicating contrition on our part, the blessing, however available, is nonetheless withheld until repentance comes. This isn't punishment on God's part, but patience and long suffering as he stands ready like the father of the prodigal, giving us every opportunity to come back to him. Confronting disobedience, disregarding divine instruction carries consequences. The divine instruction of God's word carries consequences that impacts every area of our lives. It's essential to honestly assess where we've deviated from God's path and acknowledge the repercussions of our choices. What is God's path? Matthew 5:8, Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Wow. The grace of Christ through the suffering of the cross is not a permission slip allowing us to live our lives dialed down to the lowest common denominator of sin, willfulness, or transgression. Our actions matter. Our pursuit of God's holiness as our personal standard, or failure to set that standard, has consequences both in this life and the next. God's word calls us to a high standard, and this emphasizes the need, ergo, for self-examination. Where do we begin? Confronting disobedience starts with recognizing our need for alignment with God's perfect nature without making excuses, not excusing ourselves by embracing a message of cheap grace and no accountability to anyone but ourselves. The pitfalls of self-will. When our desires overshadow and contradict God's perfect plan, we create an idol of self. This misplaced priority, worshiping the self, leads to spiritual stagnation, and it establishes negative patterns that not only mar our lives, but can affect in some measure even generations to come. In Isaiah 42:8, God said, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." Well, you say, "I'm not giving God's glory." Listen, when we look to others When we look elsewhere for what we ought to be looking to God for, that's idolatry. So this is God's warning against idolatry, including the idolatry of self-will. Idolatry is not just some ancient image of a person bowing down to a graven image. Idolatry is present when we look, again, where we look elsewhere to the world, relationships, materialism, for what we ought to be looking to God for, placing our desires above God's plan leads us to spiritual detriment, aligning with the previous section's emphasis on the consequences of disobedience. Restoration through repentance, only true repentance, brings true restoration and recovery of our lives that we might enjoy the blessings that God has set aside for us in his promises. True restoration begins with humility and repentance by confessing our specific acts of disobedience and seeking forgiveness. We open the door for ourselves to healing and renewal. John put it this way: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because we tend to read the scripture like poetry, we're kind of overlooking, what does it mean to be cleansed from all unrighteousness? That word righteousness in the original language means the ability to stand upright in God's presence. And if we're in sin, if there are things in our character, our thought life, our habits that contradict God's character, then we're not able to stand upright before God in the manner that he sent Jesus to give the sacrifice of the cross to enable us to do. What does righteousness look like? It's not just standing before God, upright before God at the end of time. In everyday life, righteousness in Christ will cause you to experience everything you say and do to become as effective as if God said it or did it. A life of authority in Christ. And if that's not your experience, sin is the most readily identifiable cause. Though human nature will make every other excuse to avoid setting aside pride and stubbornness and admitting our lost condition and the fact that even as believers, we can find ourselves out of fellowship with God, not because he wills it, but because our actions and the consequences thereof brought it about. So we have to break negative, destructive patterns. Negative cycles of unaddressed sin, pride, and stubbornness will hinder us. It'll hinder progress in our career, our spiritual life, relationships. But these patterns can be identified and broken through prayer and through faith. We possess the power to dismantle these destructive patterns and claim the blessings that God has promised. What is that power? Listen, we got in there by an act of our will. We get out by an act of our will. It's not about applying religious laws to make ourselves look good. No, the answer is within. True repentance is not turning toward or adapting a culture of sterile religious adherence, but rather to sell ourselves into an outright pursuit of God above all things. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." So heart, any part of the heart that is not searching for God with all that's within us, that's where repentance needs to come. That's where forgiveness and cleansing needs to come. A sincere pursuit of God empowers us to overcome these hindrances. God is not interested in us conforming our lives to externals. However, externals are a reflection of what's in our heart. But rather that we might be transformed inwardly, again, which will be reflected outwardly by spending time in his presence, by valuing our relationship with him above all else. This is the power of obedience. Obedience. And let's get personal here. Especially honoring God with your resources. unlocks a flow of blessing. When we acknowledge God's ownership of all we have and act accordingly, even in the area of giving. So, well, why are you talking about that? Because that's where the deepest intransigence exists to doing things God's way with most people. Our giving is a demonstration of our trust. And in our giving, we demonstrate our trust and in so doing, invite abundance. Malachi said, bring the tithes into the storehouse. What's the point? To see if I will not open you the windows of heaven. Are the windows of heaven, are the heavens brass? I've had people tell me that with tears running down their face. He wants to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon us that there would not be room in our life to receive it. It's very common to find those suffering poverty and lack are not givers. Oh, how dare you say that? Don't forget the woman with the two mites who cast in all she had. Don't forget the starving widow who's going to eat her last morsel with her son and die. What did they do? It was their giving that transformed their life. Because God cared about their pittance? No, it's because they were seeking him with all their heart. And sometimes our heart is wrapped up in those things that God would that we sacrifice and we render up to him as his due benevolence. Regardless of whether you believe that tithing is for today is not the point. The fact that God required tithing in the Old Testament indicates that this is an example, a hidden message to those of us under the freedom of grace that there's a direct correlation between obedience and giving and receiving God's blessing. If this is not your heart of giving, you are forsaking your own mercy in the area of supply. Our willingness to render up connects us to the overarching theme of God's willingness to bless us and how obedience unlocks divine abundance. That's the whole message of Malachi 3:10. So our willingness to address obedience issues, to deal with disobedience, embrace obedience, the extent to which we're willing to do that determines the extent of our spiritual and material harvest. How's the harvest? Amos 9:13 promises that the seeds of your obedience will produce a harvest even before they hit the ground. If that's not your experience, then here's some things you need to look at. By choosing humility and submission, we position ourselves to receive the fullness of God's blessings. So let's examine ourselves. Reflect today. If you've made it to the end of this, you're a rare individual. You made it to the end of this really brief message. Reflect today on areas where you may have strayed from the heart of God. Confess and repent. Find a place of prayer. Bring these areas to God at a point in time. Don't just say, well, God knows what I mean. No. Seek forgiveness and cleansing with definitive prayer. Break the patterns. Listen, there is a living, sentient opposition from Satan, deriving from Satan, that is militating. That is militating against your blessing. Let me say that again. There is living, sentient opposition deriving from Satan that is militating against your blessing. These demonic forces infest and inhabit the neural pathways where transgression is the formative influence. So pray against any negative cycles in our behaviors that are hindering your progress. Commit to obedience. Dedicate yourself. Dedicate yourself to aligning your life with God's will as you understand it. And lastly, don't forget honoring God with your resources. Tear down the idol. Consider how you can honor God with your giving and acknowledge his provision. That's been the Mentoring Minute, which has turned into many minutes. I trust it's been a blessing to you. God bless. Now, does that word resonate with you? Then sow your faith into this word today. Listen, the faith it takes to give into this prophetic word is the very same faith that will bring it to fruition in your situation. It's a tangible demonstration of your belief in the Father's love, in the Father's promise. So act now. For your response time to God is a metric of his response time to you. And every seed sown in faith is a declaration of your trust in the Father. It's an investment in the manifestation of God's love and blessing in your life. So don't delay. Text the word prophet to 44321. Or you can cash app us at $prophetic now, or Zelle would be propheticnow@gmail.com. God bless you.